Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The news about him spread through the whole countryside. He was teaching in the synagogues, and everyone praised him. He went to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found a place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The word of God for us, the people of God. Let us pray, friends. New every morning is your love, great God of light, and all day long you are working for good in the world. As we prepare ourselves to hear the preached word, stir up in us a desire to serve you, to live peacefully with our neighbors, and to devote each day to your Son. May the words preached be empowered by your Holy Spirit, so we may be transformed and moved into the world as a people of love, grace, and divine power. In Christ we pray. Amen. Many and varied are the interpretations dealing with the teachings and the life of Jesus of Nazareth, but few of these interpretations deal with what the teachings and the life of Jesus have to say to those who stand in a moment in human history with their backs against the wall. These powerful words were penned in 1949 by the great theologian Howard Thurman. And in his book, Jesus and the Disinherited, Thurman challenges his contemporaries, urging them to confront the gap between the message of the gospel in the lived reality and experiences of those that, as he put it, have their backs against the wall. Thurman is writing these words in the midst of the Great Depression, while poverty, hunger, discrimination, suffering were rampant around the nation. But these words of Thurman seem to continue to speak to us today. And they ask, what does the mission and the message of Jesus mean for those in our society who live on the margins? The poor, the imprisoned, the homeless, the oppressed, the orphan, the immigrant, the sick, and all for whom liberty, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness seems to be an impossible dream. What does the religion of Jesus have to say to those individuals? Well, we don't have to go very far in the Gospels to figure that out. And I think here the writer of the Gospel of Luke provides us with one of the clearest and most compelling declarations of Jesus' mission. This passage calls us to understand his purpose not as an abstract doctrine, but as a living, active force, one that illumines, transforms, and liberates, one that speaks to the heart of those who are not considered polite company, and also those who seem to have already gained their entrance into heaven. The mission has something to say to all of us. You heard the reading of the scripture, but since we haven't been together in a little while, I'm going to kind of do a quick recap for us of all that has happened between Christmas and today. So imagine the little tune that the shows have, like previously on, like the life of Jesus. So after the angels and the shepherds announced his birth, Mary and Joseph took the infant Jesus to be circumcised on the eighth day, as he was proper. And at the temple, they encountered Simeon, who was filled with the Holy Spirit, and he recognized Jesus as the long-awaited Messiah. He said that Jesus was a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and a glory for the people of Israel. They also met the prophet Anna, an 84-year-old widow who had dedicated her life to fasting and prayer. She too recognized the Messiah, praised God, and testified about Jesus to all of those who were around him. Then the family moved from Bethlehem to Nazareth, where Jesus grew up. In one of their yearly travels for the Passover to Jerusalem, they lost Jesus. And I think that's something that only a family that has multiple kids can do well. Because you are worried about the older ones who can't do so well for themselves, that you expect the older one to just come along, and they look around and they lost the Son of God. And I can only imagine the conversation on the way back of how do we explain this to people? But there was Jesus sitting in the temple, and he was amazing, those that were around him. He was sitting among the teachers, and he's speaking with great wisdom. Read the text. It's really funny. And Jesus answered as a 12-year-old to his mother will make any parent cringe. And I think it was one of those, if you are not the Son of God, you may lose a tooth or two. That's just Jefferson's commentary. Your Bible may not say that. Be warned. Then Jesus grows up, and he is baptized by John, and then goes into the wilderness where he's tempted by the devil. And now he finds himself back at home in Nazareth among his own people. And Jesus went to the synagogue as it was his custom. So for all of the people who say that coming to church is not necessary, Jesus went to church. It was his custom. I am not making that up. It's in your Bible. So there he was among his people, and he's handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he took the scroll and he looked through the words and found the place where those who had experienced the exile were given good news about the external state of their nation and their internal well-being. It was the custom of the time to read the scriptures standing and then expound on them while sitting down. And the message puts it in this way, that when Jesus finished reading the scriptures, he said, "You've just heard the scriptures make history. It came true just now in this place." Or as it is said in one of my favorite Sting songs, "If there's one guy, just one guy, who'd lay down his life for you and I, I hate to say it. I hate to say it, but it's probably me." Sting wasn't talking about Jesus, but I think it's fitting. Jesus' declaration in the synagogue is bold and groundbreaking. He's not just reading from Isaiah as a reminder of a distant hope. He is proclaiming a new vision of freedom and liberation, healing and restoration for all people. He was saying that these realities that we have thought about and hoped about and prayed for are here now for all of us. And I am the one through whom God's promises are being fulfilled. A part of what makes this moment in the text really interesting is not that Jesus, not just what Jesus is saying, but who he says it to. Jesus is speaking to the hometown folks, the people who knew him as a boy, who watched him grow up, who likely had their own expectations of both who he was and what he would become. These were not strangers. They were his own people. And some of us may understand the sentiment behind this. If you have some adventurous childhood or teenage years or young adult years, and then Jesus got a hold of you and you went back home and you heard the whispers of, "Wasn't that such and such? Didn't he use true, or didn't she use true? Remember when?" the weight of the past was with him as he spoke to his people. And despite all of that, despite their shared history in their familiar space, Jesus proclaimed his mission. A mission that was not about maintaining the status quo or meeting personal expectations of people. It was a mission that pushed forward the radical, inclusive, and transformative reality of the kingdom of God. A kingdom where the poor, the oppressed, and the marginalized were seen, valued, and included. So let's be honest here for a moment. Let's have a moment of frankness. I understand that when we begin speaking about the poor and the oppressed and the marginalized, all sorts of feelings may rise up within us about our own role or their culpability or God knows what else. And in this text, there is something that may sound a little bit rude, but it's true. You are not exempted from that crowd. I am not exempted from that crowd. What Jesus does here is establish his purpose for being as a reminder to all people that the gospel is not merely about personal salvation or spiritual comfort. It's about the liberation of individuals, both in a spiritual and in a physical sense. The gospel of Jesus Christ is about breaking the chains that prevent people from living fully and freely to worship the God who created them. And friends, while it's always easy to point out those who may be snared by the chains of financial poverty or systemic injustice or addiction or despair or whatever else, the list goes much deeper and includes all of us. It exempts no one. While good news to some who are financially poor might indeed mean financial freedom for those who are financially secure, yet bound by a poverty of generosity, good news might mean freedom to live with open hands and open hearts. Release for the captives might mean liberation for those who are unjustly imprisoned, but it also means freedom for those who are captives to fear and jealousy and resentment or bitterness. The recovery of sight for the blind might mean healing for those who cannot physically see, but it also means clarity for those who are spiritually blind or blinded by prejudice or ignorance or self-interest. The beauty of the gospel, it's its depth and breadth. Jesus' mission is not a one-size-fits-all, or as the clothing companies have begun to print, one-size-fits-most. The mission of Jesus meets each of us exactly where we are. Lifting our burdens, opening our eyes, and calling us into a fuller and freer life in God's grace. This is why these words were so revolutionary. They were not limited to external realities of a small group of people. They challenged the internal change that keeps all of us from living fully as beloved children of God. So Terman said, many and varied are the interpretations dealing with the teachings and the life of Jesus of Nazareth, but few of those interpretations deal with what the teachings and the life of Jesus have to say to those who stand at a moment in human history with their backs against the wall. What does the mission of Jesus have to say to the people in our lives? To people in our community, to people in our nation, to people in our world. Why does the good news of Jesus Christ have to say to those who for one reason or another find themselves swimming against the current, trying their best to survive and yet struggling? As we hear Jesus proclaim his mission, we must also recognize that his mission is our mission. Robin bit me to the punch. It's always good when the children's sermon gives you the same message in 3 minutes. But as followers of Jesus, we are called to be his hands and feet, living out the radical love and liberation proclaimed in the gospel. This is not an abstract concept by any means. It is deeply practical. It means feeding the hungry, welcoming the stranger, advocating for justice, working so that those who are without homes will have a safe place to lay their heads. But it also means examining our own lives and asking, what chains am I still carrying? How can I allow Christ to set me free so that I can join in the work of setting others free? If you have been following the 31 days of prayer, Jefferson has done a lot of self-confessions in there. And confession may be good for the soul, but it's not always good for the character. And I hope we are all okay with each other still. So here comes some more. In 2013, a clergy colleague of mine invited me to attend a Emmaus walk. And many of you are familiar with that wonderful resource. And if you have not yet participated, I strongly recommend it. And I would love to sponsor you. By that stage of my life, I was married. I had 2 children. I worked full time. I was completing my seminary training. I served the church. And I did all of the things that a good Christian is supposed to do. And yet, whether I understood it or not, there was a lot more that God desired to do within me. And it is as if I heard the words of Jesus to the rich ruler that had kept all of the commandments, and that's in Luke 18, one thing you still lack. So I went not knowing what to expect, and to be honest, I went kind of hesitantly. But God's grace works in us in some strange ways. And while I was there, something got a hold of me, which allowed me to let go of a lot of baggage that had prevented me from being fully present to God, to myself, and to others. I have begun to say that the road to Christian perfection is a long road, and some of us enjoy the scenery along the way. But friends, I assure you that I am and seek to continue to be on that road. It is important that all of us ask ourselves, how is God calling me to live out the good news of the gospel today? Who are the people in my family, in my community, or even within my church who need to hear that they are loved, they are seen, and they are valued? We can allow Christ to use us. We can allow ourselves to be instruments of God's grace and power and liberation for people in the world. This morning, we've heard the words of Jesus, words that have echoed through time and space, speaking directly to the human condition. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Friends, these words have already been fulfilled in our world and in our lives. The gospel tells us, each one of us, that we are seen, we are loved, we are forgiven, and we are not forgotten. But the good news also says, come and follow me. So this week, may we step boldly into this mission with courage and humility. May we embrace the uncomfortable truth that the gospel calls us to stretch beyond what feels familiar and easy. Trusting that God's Spirit is working in us and through us, and may we be reminded that just as the kingdom of God is for everyone, so true is the work of God's kingdom. This work is for you and for me and for every person who calls Jesus Lord. So when we leave this place, let us move into the world inspired to wholeheartedly surrender our lives. And let the Spirit lead us in the work of good news, liberation, and love. Thanks be to God. Amen.